Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, and for this hour, host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We are joined for the fullness of the hour by a very lovely lady and lovely friend of mine, Kathy Gerber. Kathy is a Conshohockenite. That makes her a Conshy girl. And Kathy, I want you to know that when I came to town from Boston many moons ago, I was told that if I married a Conshy girl, I would marry up. I did, and I did. And I'm so pleased to have a Conshy girl on the broadcast today. Welcome to The Great Message.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Praise God. We've been wanting to get you on for a while. We finally worked it out. You've been very patient, and patience pays off, you know? Or as the great Gerard Manley Hopkins once said of patience, patience broods to peace thereafter. So we're now at peace as we do this broadcast. Up front, Kathy, and this is rather formulaic, but everyone has a differing story. And so I always ask my guests to share their story of faith. Tell us how you came to know the love and truth of Jesus Christ.
1982, September 6th, somebody had shared the gospel with me. Now, this is not the first time that I ever heard the gospel. The year before I had. I grew up in South Philly, and so it was a hot summer night, and I had been drinking and almost got hit by a vehicle, and the gentleman in the vehicle got out of the vehicle, came over to me, and told me Jesus loved me. The minute he said Jesus loved me, I burst into tears. It was very dramatic, and I really understood and accepted what he was saying.
Well, if I may just interject, this is what we would call a most fortuitous accident. Accidents tend to be unduly unfortunate, but this was a fortuitous one.
So after that, I went to his house, and my heart was ripe, and I accepted the Lord. I repented all that I could fully understand. And because of my drug and alcohol background, addiction, he shared concerning a program called Teen Challenge.
Yes, and with David Wilkerson out of New York, yes.
Yeah, beautiful man of God. And I accepted that and thought about it for a while. And a month later, in October, I went into the program.
Now, was this over in Germantown?
Yes.
Yes, I knew the place is now gone.
Yes.
But I have been there.
Yeah.
And of course, I frequent Times Square Church in Manhattan as often as I can. Yeah. Wilkerson founded it. I'm sure you're aware that he comes out of Pennsylvania.
The hills of Pennsylvania.
That's right.
Yeah.
Out west.
He followed God's call.
Exactly.
And that led him to New York. Yes.
Praise the Lord. So your foundation in faith has connections to the great David Wilkerson. Now, you mentioned September 6th.
Labor Day.
1982. So you can be quite specific. Now, for me, I'm a 75 guy. I can tell you August of 75, but I can't give you the day. You can give us the day. That's a beautiful thing. So having come to faith, having enrolled in Teen Challenge, which is a marvelous ministry to men and women who are struggling with addictions, take us from there.
So I went in the program, and God used that as a tool, learning the Word of God, getting up daily, doing devotions, having a very practical, applicable Jesus. So it was so practical, and developing that intimate relationship with God every day.
And you were doing this in concert with others. I mean, there were others in the program.
Yes. When I was in the program, there were 16 other ladies. There were like 8 staff. And we had specific things that we did every day. Job duties, devotions, teachings. It would be the whole day.
Yeah.
And we would spend time together, and you also lived together. It was a residential program. Mm. and I was there for a year. After I graduated, I interned a little bit there. Then I went to Bible college. So my experiences were similar. I went to a Bible college. It's called Youth Challenge Bible Institute in Sunbury, Pennsylvania. I learned similar applicable, practical application of intimacy with Jesus Christ and community. And the Lord just transformed me right Praise before God. My eyes.
My lovely wife, now with the Lord, her early days in faith, she was blessed by, when she had a child out of wedlock in her youth, she was blessed. A group of nuns over in Southwest Philly took her in. And she did not want to leave them. It was such a loving, nurturing environment. But she would find great joy in a small Assemblies of God fellowship where she was nurtured in the faith. It's a wonderful thing, as you attest, when you can find early on in your faith fellow believers to help nurture you along. And I know that you're doing a similar kind of nurturing now. We're going to get to that later. But continue to tell us about your newfound faith.
So I went to Bible college, and in the Bible college, I went there for 3 years. And I just continued to grow in knowing who Jesus was, community with believers. It was a very small Bible college, and I got to put into application those similar things that I learned. So important, coming from a background, not only of addiction, but just where you really don't know too much about God. It's not about mental ascent. Right. It's more heart transformation and continuing and your mind being renewed, and your heart is already transformed. You just need to walk in it. And I believe that's what really helped me transform. And the leaders that God put over me were spirit-filled. And Teen Challenge, the background was Assembly of God. They really contributed a lot to Teen Challenge. And the school I went with was connected to an Assembly of God church in our school. And the minister was an Assembly of God minister.
Right. You speak of the heart being transformed. We speak of the mind being renewed. If I may encapsulate, broadly speaking, the knowledge of God is not just to be in one's head. It's experiential. We have a direct personal encounter with Jesus Christ. That sounds crazy to some people, but for those of us who have encountered him, it's the most beautiful thing in the world. It truly is. And so you've encountered Christ. You've allowed him to work in your life. You've been nurtured. That's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Every local assembly should be a nurturing environment, no question. And, you know, having come out of a David Wilkerson context, I've never met Wilkerson. Did you meet him?
Yes.
God bless you. I've met his successor, Carter Conlon. And I've interviewed on this broadcast Carter Conlon's successor, Pastor Tim Dilena, who now shepherds Times Square Church. He's a wonderful guy. But in all of my visits to Times Square Church, either with my lovely wife or with my daughter and granddaughter, I can tell you that that whole ethos of David Wilkerson's ministry continues to permeate. You walk into Times Square Church, Kathy, and there's this palpable encounter, I mean palpable, with the love of Christ. You have powerful preaching. You have a worship service that in technical terms can rival anything that plays out in Times Square. But it's pure worship. It's the pure love of Christ. It's the pure word of God being preached. So for you to have been raised up in that environment, what a gift from God.
Amen.
Now, where did you go after college?
I went back to Teen Challenge and worked as a first intern, then staff, from 1987 to 1990, full-time. And then from 1990 to 94, I volunteered. But during that period of time, I had neighbors that lived next door to me in Philadelphia who actually became really good friends of mine, and later they moved to Maryland and they started a church, and I joined them in the starting of the church. And they are like spiritual parents to me. See, I believe it's so important to have under shepherds discipling you. Jesus, the Holy
Oh,
Spirit,
yeah.
is always discipling you, but it's really good to have
Yes.
the under shepherds. And these people also discipled me, and the church that it was called Choose Life Church. So God had his hand upon me going from here to there, all his will, that I had these wonderful leaders that were a part of my life pouring into me.
And you were willing, and we'll pick up on this after the break, you were willing to come under them to
Yes.
be further nurtured. Praise God. Brad Lacey, Kathy Gerber, we return with the great message for a second round in just a moment. Brad Lacey with my lovely friend Kathy Gerber, returning for a second round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210. WPHT. Kathy, I'd like to pick up afresh, if only for a moment or two, concerning the nurturing experience that you had. I'm thinking to the Apostle Paul, and if you extract from his writings from the New Testament, it's very clear to me, I'm speaking now as a man of God, so I'm using masculine language, but it's applicable to those of you on the feminine side of the ledger. Paul basically said that we all needed to have a Timothy, someone we could nurture. We all needed a Paul, someone who would nurture us. And we all needed, I guess, a Barnabas or a Silas, someone who would partner with us. Doesn't have to be a husband and wife, but two Christians sharing a ministry together. So we come under, we come over, if you will, and we walk side by side. Now, I know you have a lovely gal with whom you share your home as roommates, Sierra. And you ladies are partners in the ministry. You've talked about how you've come under, but you also have your own ministry now and have had so for years. So clearly, I infer that you are also nurturing others. So tell us about your personal ministry, how God is using you in service to Him.
Now, as a part of ministry unto the Lord,
Yes.
I like the scripture, Luke 9:23. It says, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So Jesus set that example. So in my own personal life in ministry, I have set that example, and God will lead people to you. So in the different churches, in the different communities that I am involved in, that is what I do in the nurturing. Also, doing groups with ladies, praying with them in community, one-on-one, and groups. Also, nurtures, disciple, and then being an example to people, not only in an evangelism, but also in teaching, preaching, laying hands on the sick, casting out demons. This is all a part of the ministry of Jesus Christ,
Well,
and this all takes place.
it's interesting. I was just in a Bible class earlier today when you and I were texting. I was in the class. I wasn't leading it, so it gave me leeway to respond to you. We were talking about this, a pronounced sense of calling to my life, and I can have bad days and off days, so I'm not always at my best, but my sense of calling in part, and you'll relate to this, is wherever I go and with whomever I am, I endeavor to be the presence of Christ. Doesn't necessarily mean I'm preaching, doesn't even have to mean I'm witnessing, but I want something of Christ to be projected from my person. And in the last 2 days, I was given marvelous opportunity. One was in a bank, the other was over the phone, but it was related to a store visit that I made. I had the opportunity to pray with these two individuals. And one was left in tears. Praise God that the prayer was that moving and that much needed. But just to be prepared to be his servant wherever one is. You know, and I know that's true of you, just as we've come to know one another. This is not meant as a political statement, but as President Trump would say, you're locked and loaded. You're ready to serve, okay? You're ready to serve. Now, it's a beautiful thing. Not every Christian thinks along these lines. That's not meant to be derisive or to be derogatory. But it does speak to the caliber of your Christianity. Now, when you spoke earlier, and I'd like you maybe to define, flesh out what you mean by dying to oneself. That's odd language, as it's even recognized. I remember when Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Nicodemus replies, well, how is that possible? So when you speak of dying to yourself, what specifically, in concrete terms, does that mean?
Well, if you look at the scripture in the context, denying oneself means utterly disown in the Greek. So it's laying your life down. My life no longer belongs to me. I can't do what I want to do. I can't go where I want to go. He leads me. And I listen to that small, still voice. And it's also in the Gospels. There's a new life that takes place when you accept Christ, but you have to yield to the Holy Spirit's leading, he resides in you. So taking up your cross is also crucifixion. It's a representation of the cross. No longer me doing what I want to do. No longer me going after what I want to go after. As your heart is changed and your desires are changed for him, all you want to do is the will of the Lord in following Christ. Through your example, through the attributes of Christ, and Romans 8 talks about being conformed into the image of Christ. That's our real calling. What you said earlier, everywhere I go, I don't need to speak to people about Jesus, but I want to make sure the fruit is apparent. I want to make sure that my words are seasoned with the love of God. I want to make sure that my example is coming across, that even though they don't know Christ, they're going to see something's different about this person. I sense the Holy Spirit and God, and they don't even know him, but they sense something is different.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, sometimes I want to be very careful because I'm not minimizing the need to speak the word, but sometimes with the best of intentions, we can be speaking the word or trying to evangelize or trying to preach. And we may be operating more in a fleshly rather than a movement of the Holy Spirit. And that can actually do damage. You know, you don't, like, for instance, let's take a young man, and this is not an attack on the Catholic Church, it's simply illustrative. But as we know, 20 years ago or more, the story broke of how children had been treated by some of the priests, amidst many fine, godly priests. And there'd be incidents within the evangelical frame. But I was in a situation once where a gentleman with the best of intentions was trying to witness to a man who wanted nothing to do with what he had to offer. And he says, well, I feel sorry for that man. If he dies tonight, he's going to hell. I said, well, you don't know that. And for all you know, maybe he had been a child who had been sexually abused by a priest or a pastor, because that was a prevalent theme in that era. And you know, our job, he may need healing. And your first order of responsibility or mine would be to be a healing presence before we're a preaching presence. Because that word can be a hammer, not just, you know, not simply life.
Right.
The man meant well. I don't want to minimize that. But we have to be discerning. And that's the Spirit of God who gives to us the gift of discernment. And I will tell you this, Kathy, I think you will be in complete concurrence. I've been doing my ministry now here in Conshohocken for 38 years. I'm in my 39th. And I've learned something, and I suspect you've learned it as well. If I ask myself, what is my reward? You know, the Bible says there is a reward forthcoming. But what about now? What is my reward now? And I've reached a point in my ministry at which I can say, and you pick up on this for yourself on the other end of the break. I'll come back to you. My reward now is the act of service to Christ itself. I take great joy in being his servant and in doing his will. I want to hear your experience with that, but on the other end of the commercial divide. Brad Lacey and Kathy Gerber, we return in a moment for a third round of The Great Message. Brad Lacey, Kathy Gerber, returning for a third round of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Kathy, again, my sense of you is that you take great joy in being a servant of Jesus Christ. Tell us about this.
Well, I guess in knowing God in the very beginning, I really did not fully understand, but now I do. So I consider it an honor and a privilege to be a servant of the Most High God. And seeing the fruit of God's labor in individual lives, seeing it, me not thinking it's me, but me knowing it's him. On that day, I would like him to say, well done. But in the meantime, while I'm in it, I just want to please him and learn, being teachable, just humbling myself before him and knowing him. And I believe we grow in the depth of understanding God a little bit more each day as we open our heart to him in personal intimacy with him.
The longer you know him, the more beautiful he becomes. The longer you serve him, the more privileged it is. You know, you'll love this story. I've shared it many times sermonically and in conversation. Whether I've shared it, I believe I've shared it over this microphone. But you'll love this. I was in Moscow in the late 90s doing some teaching with some other pastors. And we were taken during a free day in the afternoon to the Tretyakov Museum, which is a marvelous museum of Russian art in Moscow, be comparable to the Philadelphia Museum here. And we were downstairs getting ready to enter the museum itself, but you have to wear these big, they look like tennis rackets because of the conditions outside during the winter. So we were putting our tennis racket shoes on. And we were talking amongst ourselves, and I noticed a man across in the hall, the short lobby area. He was looking at us, even staring and beaming like a Christmas tree. So I knew something was up. And then he approached us with this big smile, and he says, "Gentlemen, perfect English, where are you from?" I think I was the one who answered. I said, "Well, I'm from Philadelphia. This gentleman's from Arizona. This gentleman's from Mid-State California, this guy's from Alaska. Where are you from? Or who are you?" And his reply, Kathy, you're going to love this. Our audience can't see you, but I can. So I will attest before the audience that you've begun to beam like a Christmas tree. He said with this spirit of elan, "I am an ambassador for the kingdom of God." I'll never forget it. What an extraordinary way of introducing oneself. You are ambassadorial in your service, but I also know of you that you'll be the chief cook and bottle washer. You'll clean the toilets. You'll do whatever your Lord requires you to do. Am I right?
Correct.
Yeah. What's your favorite dimension or aspect of ministry? I mean, you're entitled to have a favorite.
I would say going out in the community, shopping, and talking with people. I'll see somebody, and God will put them on my heart, and he'll orchestrate a conversation. And then it will become more than a conversation. It will become prayer. It'll become somebody crying, just like what you were sharing earlier, and it'll become very personal just because he was directing me in the community, in the Walmart, in the Weiss.
Yes.
And then we'll end up praying in the aisles, and people will be crying. Mm. And it's just all orchestrated and ordained by God. And I love it because it's spontaneous. There's not a script to it. and you just obey and you hear them. You don't know everything that's going to take place, because we would help them. That probably wouldn't be good. So I would say sharing the gospel with people in those personal ways in the marketplaces is probably my favorite.
You know, that's one of my favorites as well, because I do something similar. You know, as a widower, I've never cooked. I'm just not a man who cooks. And with my mother gone and my lovely wife gone, I have to fend for myself, which I'm happy to do. But what I tend to do is have a meal at a diner or a nice, not the fancy restaurants, but there's a place, for instance, off the Ben Franklin Parkway called Little Pete's. I love the place. I was there yesterday meeting with a colleague. I'll be there again tomorrow. And I've gotten to know the waitering staff. I've had opportunities to pray with them, to share with them, to get to know them, and with some of the customers. So just to set the stage, the one particular waitress is in a very difficult personal situation. I get to pray with her routinely. I get to make certain she has a little something extra in her pocket by way of a gratuity so she can get an Uber home. She's not well. There are two lovely ladies who are patrons. They listen to the broadcast. May we greet the lovely Loretta and the lovely Lorraine over this broadcast today. There's another gentleman. He was a criminal trial attorney, a Jewish man. We've had a chance to discuss things of faith together. There was another young man. He was a professor, not a believer, but he was very respectful of us. He was a literary professor, and we had a lovely chat. What I'm getting at is, like you, the opportunity to mingle with people.
Yeah.
And we're not looking to impose upon them, but we are looking to find those moments or conduits through which and by which we can share with them. What a great thing that is. And I'm so happy that you do it. Because lots of Christians, when they sit down in a restaurant or they're in a checkout line, they instinctively think of themselves as consumers or patrons before they think of themselves as servants of Jesus Christ. And if the service ain't going that well, they can get perturbed, maybe rightly, but they still have to remember who they are. You do.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Now, you have this lovely roommate. Yes. You have a lovely rapport with her, Sierra. I'm sure that there's a lovely nurturing playing out there. I'm not asking to break ranks into something that's personal betwixt the two of you. But just, just what I see, there's something lovely where you're growing together.
Yeah. I've known her since 2014. I met her at a church, and we started out. I gave her guitar lessons, and she has grown, and we are friends. She's like a younger sister to me. She has grown so much. She has a lot of love, and I believe that just the relationship in that, I believe there's potential for people to grow by seeing the example. She's a wonderful example to me. I also believe that we need that in our lives. The mature mm-hmm. need the younger to keep us going. And I believe it's a really important part of discipleship, showing love, and also seeing the fruit of her life.
Yeah. Again, it wasn't my intent to extract what plays out betwixt you privately, but to elicit the
yes.
principles, the
yes.
didactics. And, you know, we have this lovely young couple. We're an older, a small body
yes.
of believers, and mostly older. But we have this one lovely young couple, and my associate pastor and I, they show us such respect, and I think we show them comparable respect back.
Yeah.
And the affection that has erupted, you know, and it's a beautiful thing that by virtue of the fact that they're a younger couple seeking to
yeah.
grow in faith, looking to two men, one a widow and
yeah.
one a bachelor, it's just a beautiful
Amen.
Thing. And for us to be able to look to them almost as spiritual parents,
yeah.
I think I forget the word almost, to look to them as if we are their spiritual parents and they would be our spiritual children. There's just something so precious
yes.
about that. And I think in the Word of God, that kind of relationship is honored. It really is, which is why I think it's so devastating to the church, certainly within the evangelical community over the last 50 years. There's been this chasm betwixt younger and older believers. It's not healthy by my estimate. And it takes two sides to tango. Both sides need to take a fresh look at that. But you buck it, I've sought to buck it, and praise God, the Spirit of God's on our side. Kathy, I want to talk with you in the next session. We've got one more to go. As I told you before, the time flies, and we need to take the break, which is why I'm taking over. I don't want to have to interrupt you rudely. But I do want to talk with you about your experience as part of a fellowship. By my estimate, it is so important that people be invested in fellowship. Clearly you are. And so we're going to talk about that on the other side of the break. I'm just so grateful for the witness you're projecting already over these airwaves. Christ is coming forth loud and clear. God bless you. Brad Lacey, Kathy Gerber, we return with one final round of the great message in just a moment. Brad Lacey, returning with one final round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, joined for one final time this day by Kathy Gerber, a very, very dear lady, a lovely friend, and a true servant of Jesus Christ. Kathy, tell us, I know you're invested in fellowship. Where do you worship right now?
Manoah Community Church, Havertown.
That's over in Havertown?
Yep.
Okay. Excellent. And I've heard excellent things about this church over the years. And one excellent thing, clearly, is your presence amongst them. Tell us about your church and your experience in fellowship.
Beautiful church. I started going there 2021. And the preaching and teaching, my pastor is a teacher. Very good. Expounds his own life. He has a lot of love, a really good under shepherd. And we also have a lot of groups in our church to get to know people and also fellowship in the community. But I also believe, other than the church that I go to, I also have fellowship and community on social media. God has opened up that door mm-hmm. wide, and I belong mm-hmm. to a ministry called Guided Steps, starting out on TikTok, but it is growing with the message of Jesus Christ and discipleship to the broken and lost. So I am so grateful for those people. I love them. God is doing a work. And we're getting ready to launch onto Zoom to actually disciple people. So this is all in the process. We're building. We're coming together. It's a beautiful thing. Because, you know, even though we go to specific churches, we're all the body of Christ. And God will draw you to different people, because he desires community, and he desires that deeper fellowship, koinonia, with one another. So I have found that in my church. I have found that in the fellowship with other people. It's just God drawing us all together to build.
You know, I share this with you. I pastor my lovely little fellowship. We're a church of about 25 people. I wouldn't trade them for the world. But also in my role as president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, that has brought me into a broader network of fellow Christians throughout the city of Philadelphia. This radio broadcast, there are the Nielsen ratings, which provide us with a sample audience, and the numbers are solid. But I also meet a lot of people as I travel who tell me they're listening, and they've never been sampled by a Nielsen register. And then I'm now part of a group called the Friends of Jesus Coalition. We're looking to bring the gospel to the Miller Theater on South Broad Street later in the year. And that's taking me into a whole new network of fellow servants of the kingdom. So I share with you that, I mean, it's like there are emanations. You know, in the ancient world, the Gnostics believed that the world came forth by way of emanations. That's putting it very simplistically. Well, we have emanations of fellowship and emanations of ministry, worlds of ministry. And no matter where you go, no matter where you are a Christian, you are a child of God, you are a citizen of his kingdom, you are a member of his household, and you are a servant or ambassador on his behalf, no matter where you are, with whom you are. That doesn't change. Praise God. Praise God. Is there something, is there a particular theme in your heart and mind right now that, that relates to the gospel of Jesus Christ that you'd like for our audience to know or to hear? I'm sure there's something that is pressing upon you. I think all it there's always something of which we're mindful if we're servants of Christ and attentive to his spirit.
Yeah, what I mentioned is the more we become like him, same mind, same spirit, same Lord, in one accord, the more effective we become for the kingdom. Because I consider myself, like what that gentleman said, I love that, that brought tears to my eyes. I am a kingdom citizen first.
I am an ambassador.
More than anything. And see, the more we take that identity on, that we're kingdom citizens, the more we are going to be about the work. And it's not even going to be my ministry, my calling. It's more, if you look in the book of Acts, the way they lived out the life of Christ. You see it in all throughout the book of Acts. Everywhere they went, God did things. God touched people. But the main thing, the message was Jesus. Hey, let me tell you about Jesus and what he did. Let me tell you about how he gave his life and he resurrected. And the purpose was to transform people. I believe the more we become conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, first off, identity, knowing who God is, knowing who we are because of him, and embracing that identity and then walking in it, believing, not just mental assent, but in the heart, really knowing, and then knowing the mission, whether singly, whether community. See, community. Community, everybody being in one heart, one mind, one accord, it's so effective. You got 12 men in the gospel that turned the known world upside down because of the message. And see, I believe the more it's about him, it's so effective. There's power, there's love, there's a transformation. He will transform your life. If you lay your life down and your will down to truly follow him with everything that is within you. And you don't have to have it all figured out. You don't. I didn't have it all figured out, but I see how, even in my older years, how following him has transformed me. It has helped me to be guided, have direction, have love, all these things, only because of the Savior coming into my life. It's so powerful. And you can't box it in. You can't bottle it. You can't.
And I'd make the observation, and I just heard a preacher say this, and I believe he's correct. Often, with the best of intentions, we will say the gospel is that God loves you and has a plan for your life. That may very well be true. But the fundament of the gospel is that we declare the glory of God through the lordship of Jesus Christ. And so the emphasis is not upon us, but upon him. We benefit, but we are lifting up the name of Jesus. Kathy, you walk and live deep, but you speak with clarity. And I love that combination. a combination of spiritual depth and yet clarity of expression. You're living out the faith, and it's a joy. It truly is a joy to behold. I'm so grateful you came on board. God bless you. Amen indeed. Brad Lacey and Kathy Gerber, this has been our privilege, and we commend the gospel of Jesus Christ to each and every one of you. Do take care, and God bless.